The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Welcome. Good to be together. Just want to make a mention, and there's flyers in the back. We have a man by the name of Dan McCullum coming, and some of you may have seen some of his teachings on... Yeah, we've had him available, but also what was his teaching on sound called? God Vibrations. Some of you may have seen that, but he does he's an awesome apostolic teacher and prophetic guy, and we're going to have him here on April 18th. That is Good Friday, so for those of you who are from the community, just want to make you aware of that. You're welcome to come. It'll be an awesome time. That's April 18th. Well, Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We invite you to lead us and to guide us. We thank you for the ability you have to take the mystery out of the things of the Spirit and yet leave enough there that keeps us pursuing you, pressing into you, and allows us to develop our own unique relationship with you. So, Father, as we switch gears tonight from that which is very objective last week to that which is subjective this week, we ask you to give us your grace, give us your wisdom. We ask you to use us as a team of people to help give expression to this whole thing of prophetic intercession. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A quick overview of last week. Last week, we read the vision out of prophetic etiquette that Michael Sullivan had on the flag and the flagpole, where we have the tension of two things. We have the tension of the very objective side of the things of God, the Word of God, the ways of God that are very consistent, very predictable, being like the flagpole. And so last week we planted a flagpole so that this week we could begin to address some of the more subjective side of intercession, which is the flag, not the flagpole. How many of you know you can know what the flagpole is going to do? You're not sure what the flag is going to do. And it depends on the blowing of the wind. The flag can be really out there sometimes, or it can be right next to the flagpole. And we just, last week, just established the fact that the Word of God gives room for prophetic intercession. And we looked at a number of biblical examples. But one of the things that we looked at was the establishment of a new order of priests, which Jesus ushered in. He was the first. See, when it says he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who are the kings he's king of? You and me. And so he ushered in a new order, and it had been prophesied that there would be a new order of priests like the order of Melchizedek. And the order of the priest of Melchizedek had three unique qualities. Number one, he would never die. He would live forever. Number two, he was both a priest and a king, which was forbidden in the old priesthood. And we see that in Jesus, but we also see that in you and I as intercessors. So we said last week, there's times when we take on the role of a priest and we are before the throne of God representing the people. We're offering up petitions. But there are times when we turn and we are representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we function not in a priestly role, but in a kingly role, and we make proclamations and we declare things on the earth. And we have an authority to do that because we do it in the name that is above every other name. We don't do it in our name. We don't do it in the name of our church. We don't do it in the name of our city. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And under his guidance and under his direction. And so we have this awesome privilege of being part of that priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood. And guess what? We live forever. How awesome is that? And so that's kind of an overview of what we talked about. We defined what intercession is a little bit. Some of that is in your notes. If you weren't here last week, there are notes available. And also the message from last week is on our website. I just talked to someone who said they listened to it on the way here. So session two, different expressions of intercession. I have married somewhere between 75 and 100 couples, and never once have I taught any of them to kiss. Not one. Do you know why?
It's natural.
It's natural, but it's also about relationship and who's to say what's right and what's wrong. It's about intimacy. It's about connection with another person. And so there is no right or wrong way. They seem to have worked it out. Well, you know, at the altar, when we say you may now kiss the bride, they've got it figured out. In fact, I think they've done it before. So, and so, whoa, what's that got to do with intercession? It's got everything to do with intercession. As we enter this part of this teaching, I'm a little uncomfortable because you cannot script intercession. You cannot see it flows out of our intimacy with God, and so there is no formula, there is no rules, there is no regulation. It is about my relationship with God and about the privilege of being used of Him to proclaim or petition some things on earth. And so as we go through these things, this is why we wanted to plant the flagpole last week really firm, because now we're talking about the subjectivity of being moved of the Spirit in hearing the Word of God, in feeling the emotion of God, in seeing the activity of God. And it's very subjective, and there is no formula, and there are no rules and regulations. And it cannot be legislated, and it cannot be captured in a formula. And so I want us to understand that. Here's what I've learned about God. He involves us in His affairs, and we think we're really doing some significant stuff for Him, and we are. But for Him, it's not about that at all. It's about the relationship that's built while we do it. I'm the oldest of eight kids, and my dad we grew up on a hobby farm, I guess you'd call it, lived out in the country, and he had bees, and he had gardens, and he had milk cows, and he had beef cows, and we had John Deere tractors, and we did a little planting of wheat and alfalfa, and he always had a project going, and he always wanted us kids there with him. And sometimes, like planting the garden, well, what do you want me to do? Nothing, just stick around in case I need you. And as teenage boys, and we began to get a little older, you know, when you were younger, it was fun and it was awesome, but you get a little bit older and it's like, oh man, come on, if you want me to do something, I'll do something, but what, just to be here? And I realized it too late, he wanted us there for relationship's sake. And it wasn't about getting the garden planted. Well, it was, but the reality is he just wanted us there. And our Father involves us in His things, whether it's preaching, prophesying, prayer, whatever it is. And we tend to get project focused, and He's relationship focused. And so all the while we're pressing in for God, He's saying, yeah, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on. And for Him, it's not about the project. It's about the intimacy that is built while we're involved in it. So I say that to have you. That's the reason for this first statement. Intercession is about relationship with God and is not something that can be legislated or captured in a formula. God just delights to use us, but He delights to use us because in the process of being used of Him, we connect with Him, we talk with Him, we press into Him. And sometimes we forget that it's not about the project, it's about the process and about the relationship. Number two, we must all discover the unique ways that God communicates with us. You need to discover that. And I listed some here, some common ways that God communicates with us. The Bible, obviously, the Word of God. I trust that I don't have to go to a Bible verse to establish the fact that it's biblical to get information from God, from the Bible. From our experiences. Sometimes we experience things, but in the process, God communicates with us. I cannot tell you the number of times that God has communicated and dropped a seed for a sermon or whatever into my spirit while I'm sitting in a movie theater watching a movie. It has happened so many times. It's like, it's just there. And maybe it's because it's visual. I don't know. But it's like, whoa. Maybe that happens to some of you. Impressions, that still small voice, just that inner knowing. But we need to grow in trusting that. But it's one of the ways that God communicates with us. He communicates with us through dreams. I encourage those of you who dream to have a piece of paper by your bed and write stuff down. He communicates with us through visions. A lot of prophetic intercessors are visual, and you see stuff. He communicates with us through trances. I want to touch on this because I was just going to blow past this, and the Lord spoke to me this week, and He said, more of my people have trances than they realize. And I put down a scripture. It's only mentioned a couple times in scripture, but this is where Peter is on the roof at Joppa, and he's hungry, and so on his mind is food. But the Bible says, and you can look at it if you want to. I'm not going to take the time to take us there. But the Bible says that while he waited upon the roof, he fell into a trance. And he has a vision, and guess what the vision is about? Food. Imagine that. But God communicates a very deep truth to him, and we know the truth that he communicated to him was, do not call unclean that which I have called clean. And he communicates to him, hey, this gospel is for the Gentiles too, and don't you call them unclean. If you're here this evening and you've ever had a vision where you can, with your natural senses, feel what's going on in the vision, I want to suggest to you, you were in a trance. I heard someone say recently, and it was a vision about horses, and she said, I could feel the breath coming out of the nostrils of the horses. I believe that was a trance. Here's what the definition says. It's the definition of a trance is when you are your mind loses total focus of everything around you, and you step into an awareness of something else, even with your natural faculties. I heard someone else prophesied over Marcy and I a while back about horses again, and she said, I see these wild horses, and I can feel the ground shaking under my feet as they run by. See, if we get into, and I don't understand all this because I see things with my spirit, but I don't see things like some of you see things. It's like crazy. It's like, really? If that happened to me, I'd like, holy moly, I have arrived. Whoa. But the reality is that's not true. I wouldn't either, because in the same way that you've got to step into that whole thing by faith, I would have to too. And the things that come to us so supernaturally, sometimes others look and say, wow, that's amazing. Well, it is, but when you're in it, it's like, yeah, it is, but it still takes faith. And it still stretches the bejesus out of you. Having said, after me saying that, how many think it's possible that you've experienced a trance? That is awesome. That's cool, because I sincerely believe that, because I don't think, you know, Peter didn't even try to go there. He just wanted to get eat. But it says he fell into. I know sometimes people wake up and they wake up into a vision. And it's not a dream because they're awake. But I want to suggest there's times when that's a trance. It's like you're in it. You're experiencing it. And we need to know that that is very biblical. And it is one way that God communicates with us. Other people is another way God communicates with us. Have you ever been with someone and they say something and they had a megaphone. It just resonates in your spirit. And in it all, you hear the voice of God. The audible voice of God. How many here, I'll ask it before I say it. How many of here have ever heard the audible voice of God? That's awesome. I knew it would be a relatively small group. Usually it's not a long, long, long dialogue. It's usually sometimes a warning, but if you've heard it, you know you've heard it, except when you don't know you've heard it. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I give total room for that, and I respect people's opinions who think they did. And I believe they did. The voice of angels. We sometimes hear the voice of God or understand and get communication with God from our emotional sensations. Marcy's going to talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. We were here praying one Thursday morning and one of the intercessors just began to weep. No, it took a while to sort out, okay, what's going on here? And actually the emotional sensation came before anything else, before the word, before the understanding of what it was. But that's one way that God communicates with us. We talked a little bit about this last week. We just feel stuff and it's not ours. It's either, it can be indignation, it can be weeping, it can be any. We're going to talk about the emotions that range and go on inside of us. But many times that happens and we don't yet know what it's all about, but I want to encourage you to pay attention to those things. Recognize that God is speaking something in it all. Bodily sensations. Sometimes we just feel things in our body, and those of you who pray for the sick know that sometimes you feel a pain in your body and you know it's not yours, it's for somebody else. When we met in the school, we had a Sunday night worship service, and I was standing worshiping, and all of a sudden a heavy, heavy heaviness came on me. I don't even know how to describe it, except it was like, wow, it was debilitating. It was just, oh. And by the grace of God, I knew it wasn't from God. I was sensing something that someone else was feeling. And so when the worship was over, I got up and asked, and the lady sitting right behind me raised her hand and said, yeah, that's exactly what I've been struggling with all day long. And it was just, I guess I'd call it an oppression, a depression, whatever, but we just prayed for her. We're going to talk about, in a bit, we're going to talk about, we pick up both the emotion of God. Sometimes we pick up the emotion of people, because remember, we're intercessors between God and people. And sometimes we're in the priestly role of representing the people before God. And sometimes we're in the kingly role of representing God to the people. And we'll talk about the difference between the two. There might be other. Is there any other ways that God that we didn't get on here that God communicates with you? Yes. Oh, that's a good one. Say that again.
Through nature.
Yeah, it's on.
Through nature.
I mean, on this end, it's on. Mm-hmm. Through nature, she said. How many of you found that to be true? That would kind of be our experiences, but the reality is, yes, through nature, God can speak volumes.
Memories.
Other people, I think that was on there. Yeah, that was on there, but yeah, through other people. Say that again.
Books and movies.
Yeah.
Colors.
Sometimes people see colors. Why am I asking this question? Because I do not in any way pretend that this is an exhaustive list, nor will we leave here tonight with one. Why? Because it's about relationship with Almighty God. And it's about the uniqueness of how you're wired and how I'm wired. As we said last week, we end each session with a question and answer time. But what I want to do tonight, because everything we're talking about is so subjective and because we have so much to cover, and I want to allow time for us to get into prayer, I'm going to have a question and answer time at each section so that we can. So is there anyone that has any questions about what we just talked about as far as the unique ways that God communicates with each of us? And we do want to get these questions on the CD because they're very relevant questions. Can you hand that to her?
Is a trance the same thing as an open vision?
I'd prefer somebody that has visions to answer that. I personally don't think it is.
I would say no. I get a lot of visions, but I've had a trance. In trance, you're caught up in the vision. It's like your surroundings. You just aren't even aware of your surroundings anymore. You can be. I mean, the trance I had, it seems like they last a while too. It's not a quick mm-hmm. thing. Where a vision can be a mm-hmm. popcorn vision. You see something
yeah.
quickly.
Good.
But and it's almost like in your soul. You're not. It's hard to explain. But
yeah.
A trance is kind of, you're caught up in it, kind of. And where a vision, you see. You know, yeah. I looked out the window one time during church, and I saw Jesus on a horse outside. That was a vision. I saw him on a horse outside the church, and he spoke something to me. And that was it. It was just real quick, boom, boom. So, anyway.
Good. You want to grab that? Is there anyone else who sees visions that would like to address that question? Because I do think there's a difference. I think Ken answered it well. But someone else.
Well, I had an open vision one time in my life. I think the terms that we're trying to go through kind of are, you know what I mean? There's visions and trances. I mean, we can name them, but there's different levels of everything kind of. I know I read some teaching once that an open vision is when you are there. You can smell, see, feel.
Yep.
You know, Paul saw the man from Macedonia come to him or whatever. And then there's I used to think I'm daydreaming while I'm praying a lot, and I'm finding out those are just the little
visions
you get.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so
good.
So there
good.
Is a definite
good. Let me read you the strong out of the Strong's. Because I think this is relevant. A throwing of the mind out of the normal state, alienation of mind, whether such as makes a lunatic or that of a man who, that isn't what I wanted to read, who of some sudden emotion is transported, as it were, out of himself, so that in this rapt condition, although he is awake, his mind is drawn off from all surrounding objects and wholly fixed on things divine, that he sees nothing but the forms and images laying within, and thinks that he perceives with his bodily eyes and ears realities shown to him by God.
Bingo.
Oh, did you have?
Oh.
Strong's Concordance. Yep, that's under Strong's for the trance. And trance appears three times in the New Testament.
The other thing I was going to add to that, and I think he alluded to that, is the fact that with the trance, I I don't know this, but my thought would be is that it might incorporate any one or a combination of the five senses more too. When you were talking about the horses, and feeling the breath, and feeling the hoof, you know. So.
Smelling the smoke. Mm-hmm. Yes. Sure. You want to take that back to her? Thank you. Go, Vanna.
I was at a funeral, and I had an interesting thing happen. I thought at the time, actually, it was a vision, but now I realize it was a trance. I got a vision of my uncle that had really bad disabilities, and all of a sudden, he's on this hill, and he's throwing snowballs, and I couldn't see him physically, but I knew he was healed. I knew that he didn't have any more hip problems or, you know, I could just tell just by how he was throwing, but I could feel it, that he was like physically healed.
Awesome.
Cool.
Very often when God is communicating with us, we know things like she's talking about on the inside and we don't know how we know them. Okay, I think we'll move on to section two. And again, we cannot, you know, we're not capturing this very subjective subject totally. Some common expressions of intercession. And I want to suggest that intercession takes place in at least three ways. And I've got it listed there, A, B, C. Prophetic words of intercession. Prophetic emotions of intercession and prophetic acts or postures of intercession. Starting with the prophetic words of intercession can come through worship, through praise, through prophetic songs, through music. How many of you were here last week? I know there's... when we went into intercession, somebody had a prophetic declaration in song. How many of you remember that? And it was very powerful, and it was lining up with the whole theme, and it imparted something, and it was like there was an oomph behind it because it was prophetically breathed. By that, I mean it was prophetically inspired. And often worship can be very prophetic in its nature, music in general. The Bible talks about prophesying on instruments. It's important that we understand. Now, the reality is if we prophesy in an instrument in a service, anytime anything goes on, there are some things that need interpretation. Tongues need interpretation. Sometimes if there's a vision shared, it really should have interpretation. Sometimes if there's a musical discourse, it is good if we can release an interpretation for it. God is not the author of confusion, and sometimes as leaders we have a responsibility just to help people understand, okay, what just happened, because it is so subjective. Yes,
sometimes it's militant.
Yes, absolutely, sometimes it is militant. In fact, that's why I've got listed next prayers of warfare. Sometimes music is militant, particularly the drums, but not just the drums, but there can be a militant prophetic flow that just begins to arise in a service in music, and it's because there is a militance about what God is doing or saying through it all. How many of you have ever felt that militance rise up on the inside of you, and you just feel, we're going to talk about it, but I call it feistiness, and we looked it up, it is a word. It's just a feistiness. One of the definitions for feistiness is mischievous. I think that's why I like the word. But it is that in the spirit. It's like you just want to punch a devil. And it isn't that you're even going to address the devil. You're just going to let him know that you're here and God's here. And sometimes that arises in music. Prayers of petition, that is from heaven to earth. That is that priestly role of petitioning God on behalf of earth. prayers of proclamation. That is the kingly role. That is petitioning or that is speaking on behalf of heaven to earth. Totally different. See, that's why we call it prophetic intercession. Prophetic intercession is just prophecy turned around. The audience just changed. Prophetic intercession, if it's petition oriented, is instead of prophesying to people on behalf of God, I'm prophesying to God on behalf of people. It's just priestly in nature. And now the one being represented is not the one on the throne, but the people. It is now earth being represented. We defined prophecy last week as divinely inspired words or emotions. So it's not that we get our words from people, but it is that we get the impulse to pray from people. And it is petition in nature rather than proclamation in nature. Does that make sense? Just priest versus king. Prayers of binding, loosing, and prayers of agreement. Let's look at this. I just wanted us to look at this a little bit. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus said this elsewhere as well. Verse 18, chapter 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. We have an authority as intercessors to bind and to loose, to forbid and to permit. Very simple. Sometimes we make things so complicated, but we have the authority, not in our name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not inspired by a hope so, but inspired by prophetic unction that's going on the inside of us, to proclaim some things, to decree some things. Binding and loosing. We have the ability to pray prayers of agreement. Last week, we went into a time of intercession, and a few people shared where they kind of felt we were going to go in intercession. The rest of us agreed. We just stepped into that place of agreeing. Yeah, not everyone prayed, but we were here pulling together in the Spirit. If two or three agree. Prayers of confession and repentance. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we talk about next week about warfare. But many times we try to displace a spirit that has every legal right to be there, and we have not dealt with the legal right to be there. And we wonder, it says in the Bible, he who sits in the heaven laughs. And sometimes the ones sitting in heaven laughing are the powers and principalities who watch us go through our gymnastics of trying to remove them from a place that they legally have a right to be. And one of the things that takes away their right to be there is this whole thing of prayers of confession and repentance. We're not going to go to it because of time, but in 1 Samuel, there's famine in the land, and David's wondering why and what's going on. And he inquires of the Lord, and the Lord said it's because Saul broke the agreement with the Gibeonites. Years earlier. Because Joshua had made an agreement with the Gibeonites, and they had an agreement. And Saul, years later, broke that agreement, killed them all to satisfy the people. And now this whole thing is coming full circle. And David gets to step into the place of what we can call identificational repentance. And repent on behalf of what Saul did and make it right. Last week we practiced it. I never really thought about it till just now. But last week I stepped into the role of a pastor and asked you as intercessors to forgive us leaders for sometimes not valuing your gift. and not knowing what to do with it. And I can step into that role because, number one, I've made that mistake. So it wasn't like I was speaking without experience. So in that sense, my repentance was very true for me myself. But because I am a pastor and because I see we can represent whatever we're connected with. And the closer the connection, probably many of us have had the privilege of standing and confessing to a person on behalf of their father for the way they were fathered or not fathered. It's identificational repentance. I didn't even know the person. I didn't do that to them, but I can step into the place of the person who did and ask for and confess the sin and ask for forgiveness. Now, it doesn't change the person who committed the sin, but it changes the one who was wounded by it. And sometimes God will have us step into that role in intercession. The best example of identificational repentance is Jesus Christ at the cross, Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Prayer without words. Who was it last week who asked for the scriptural, some scriptural? That was you. Good. Glad you're here. Let's look at some of these scriptures a little bit. I want to go back to Romans chapter 8. We looked at this last week. Marcy shared some a bit last week on some experience she had when we were in Argentina as it related to travail. And I'm going to ask her to come up and share a little bit more about that. Romans chapter 8. I want to read this. Beginning at verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation is subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know now, I want you to notice that the whole subject matter here is birthing or travailing. Not only that, but for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we who were saved in this hope, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for why? Hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly await for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also himself helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There's an intercession that is going on in all of creation. We groan. How many, you know, there's a travail that's going on in our spirits for the revealing of the sons of God. There's a travailing that's going on in all of creation for the revealing of the sons of God. There is a travailing that's going on in the spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered for a travailing and a revealing of the sons of God. That's why I believe that there are so many being stirred in intercession in this day. Do you realize that we are closer to the end than we've ever been before? How's that for revelation? But there is an intensity building. The earth is groaning. The earth is travailing. You wonder why there's so much changing in the earth? It's just changing. Another scripture there, we're not going to turn to it, but Galatians 4:19. The Apostle Paul says, I travail, or I have birth pangs until Christ be formed in you again. He's writing to the Galatians who are leaving the reality of the gospel. And he's saying, oh, I'm in birth pangs until Christ be formed in you again. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. And here, this whole section talks about the new priesthood, by the way. And we could read it on forever. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. For in the days of his flesh, he's speaking about Jesus now. For in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. I believe Jesus travailed. I believe Jesus travailed in a very real way in the garden when he was torn between. And there is just that. Why don't you come up and share? Just that of wanting to see things established and not having the words, but feeling the pressure of it all.
Well, as Bob said, travail, I was just thinking about that when he was talking, and travail is definitely something that is, I was thinking about that, and it's not something, let me put it this way, it's not something that when travail comes or it's come on me, it's not something like, is this God? It's kind of like childbirth, you know, it's like, is this really childbirth? Yes, it is. I can say without a doubt. So that aspect, all the, you know, that part of it is, I don't know if that's a good thing or whatever, but anyway, going into it, there's no question about it. And the reality is what you've done is just like any other part of intercession, you've surrendered yourself onto that. And so I can say that going into travail, there's most times when I've gone in, I don't know it. It's been alone. It's been in a small group. It's been in a meeting, an open meeting. But I can say that travail is not a grievous thing. It is something that, number one, I know God has led me into it, and I know that the reason why he has is because I've asked him to use me. And when he does that, it is something that I am very grateful for. It's not, I can say that it's not something that, how do I want to say, you know, when you pray, sometimes things are, I mean, oftentimes when you pray, you know, we pray and we all pray differently or whatever the case may be, but travailing is messy sometimes. And so I say that in the fact that be willing to be in a place, and it should be with any part of this, be in a place to be used of God, because it's going to look different, and it can be messy, and it can be what I want to say, it can be at a time when you don't think, you know, you're just not expecting it, so to speak. And for that reason, and maybe I'm just trying to think as far as covering it, but I think there we need to recognize that we need to be sensitive to our surroundings then in the process of that, you know, because there are many, I mean, you know, somebody comes up and, you know, pray something or sing something or a prophetic prayer, and we can receive that. But when somebody is going through, just as you would think in, you know, through a childbirth experience, it just can sometimes people, like it concerns people. It makes them scared about things, the moving of the Spirit, that it can potentially. So I think we just need to be, if God is moving on you in that way, I think we just need to be sensitive to our surroundings, especially if we're in an open meeting. So, and the other thing is just to recognize too, I just feel like the Lord has helped me remember is that I just carry a peace. This is the peace. We all just carry a peace. That's the peace, you know? And it's, from that standpoint, it's been very joyous for me to be either in an open meeting or in a small group and something like that takes place. But it's out of the flow. And so I feel like, yes, I can add my peace to it, you know? And so it's very fulfilling in that respect. So just trying to think now. Anything else? I guess the one thing I wanted to undergird is that it's not a grievous thing. And we talk a little bit about that. I'll talk a little bit more about that in to come. But entering into it, oftentimes it's, you know, you recognize that, okay, the Holy Spirit is leading here. There's no question. A lot of times, and many of you, you know, maybe experienced it, my knees start shaking, my body kind of starts shaking, you know, and it's a moving of the Spirit, but it is a wonderful piece of the puzzle, so.
When you feel the travail coming on you, do you know what you're interceding for, number one? Or number two, do you see or hear anything?
That's a good question. I would say when I enter in, I would say probably initially I don't know what it is. I'm not sure, for sure. I might have a sensing, especially if we're in a, like I said, in a group, a small group gathering, or maybe I'm with somebody, prayer partner. You know, I might get a sensing, but it isn't until, and sometimes maybe not afterwards. You know, I found that other people actually then have completed it or have felt like they had a sensing of God. And that's what's the beauty of it. It's all, it's team. And I guess it's just so, to me, it's so precious and so wonderful because you just, everybody's got kind of that peace. Yeah, you're partnering with God. That's a good word, partnering with God.
Could you explain to me again the part about it not being grievous? And I ask that in that, in an experience I had, I was, the whole experience was heavy and amazing to me. But when you say grievous, that it wasn't, it doesn't mean you're not crying about something that you did, or what does that mean exactly?
No, it isn't in that respect. It's not something personally that I did. I mean, or that I'm sensing that the Lord is doing in me. When I've entered into travail, it's either for someone else or it's for some other thing or situation or something that maybe the Lord is wanting to bring forth or whatever the case may be. Oftentimes what he's wanting to bring forth, because obviously it's coupled in childbirth. But it's hard to explain, but it's when you enter into the only way I can kind of explain it is maybe how, and there again, it wouldn't be relative to you. I was thinking how when a woman has carried a child and she, yeah, there you go. Well, and you've been experientially that process, you know, so that's an aspect of it, you know, because you are partnering. You know, even as husband and wife experience that childbirth experience, you are partnering in bringing forth that life. So that aspect of it, but it's not, it's not a grievous thing. I can't. It's hard. Probably hard to explain. But oftentimes, afterwards, for one thing, afterwards, when I've been in travail, oftentimes it will leave as almost as quick as it's come. For me, it comes on very quickly, and it leaves that way. But the only way I can explain it is there's a fulfillment when it does leave. I feel like, because I keep asking, once I get into it, I ask the Lord, okay, you know, help me. Where are we going with this? Or would you show me where we're going and make sure you let me know how far I am to take this, you know, so I know.
I get travail off and on, and usually when you get a breakthrough, it's either joy. For me, it's either joy, like laughter, or worship, and I know I'm done. And it can come in waves. You can get travail. When I say travail, it's a heaviness on your spirit. You just can't hardly function. I just had it happen yesterday, and I was eating lunch, and all of a sudden, like, you know, and it whacks your brain, because I'm thinking, because all of a sudden, what was I eating? I don't remember. I thought, maybe I shouldn't be eating this. You know, it's like, because all of a sudden, there's something, you know, you're almost like a check in your spirit, you know, and a tightness, that's good, tightness in your spirit. And but I just went in the back room, in another room, and yeah, I had something to pray out. And so I just, and the trickiest one for me, the travail, is when it's there and you're not picking it up. Sometimes it's so on you that you can't do nothing. But I get these ones where it's kind of subtle, where it's almost like a scratchiness in your spirit. Something's wrong. And if I'm in my head, okay, because it's in the heart. If I'm in my head, I don't pick up on it, and you're not feeling right. I think some people are kind of depressed that are intercessors and don't realize there's something going on they need to release, or they're heavy or whatever. And I have found, and I just want to share this through all the years of this, for some reason, I could be sitting in my chair and I can't pick it up. Okay, I'm sitting, you know, I have a chair I pray in. You know, I sit and read and just worship and whatever, or if I'm standing. I have found I get on my face and all of a sudden, you know, just get on, prostrate before the Lord. Maybe I just, it's humility, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, it pops. It's like, there was something there. All of a sudden, it's like, shah, you know, it just starts to come out. And I start to travail. I didn't know it was there. But there was something not right in my heart. Something I couldn't put my finger on it. So.
I ended up travailing for a Baptist church at the end of the service, and the only thing that kept me from being really embarrassed was the worship going on at the moment. And what I felt like I was doing, I was releasing God's heart of emotional hurt for that church or that congregation. And so I was speaking forth and in a physical manifestation, God's hurt, God's hurting heart for not being embracing his love for them. And it took a while, but it stopped right away when it stopped. And God will sometimes gently do it, and then other times in a non-embarrassing way, and then the other times he's going to manifest it to the people he wants them to see it. So that they'll ask.
I agree with what's being said, and I think I have had a sensing where it's almost like there's a sensing of a burden to be praying, and as I start to pray, the burden explodes as I'm obedient to it.
Excuse me. I think just for the sake of this teaching, I'd kind of like to be more specific about what happens in travail, because for you it might be different for everybody. But so far we've said birthing, we've said groaning, crying, tears, weeping, experiencing a heaviness. I think also there's just kind of a sense of, like you said, God's heart for someone else, like experiencing God's heart for someone that is in pain or experiencing a need for healing or in some way. I have broken out in tears when I've went to pray for someone for healing in a wheelchair, and that person looked at me and said, "It's okay, I'm okay. You don't have to, you know." And so you have to kind of explain yourself afterwards. But the best way I could explain to that person was, "I'm just feeling God's heart for you, and He doesn't want you to be in this situation, you know." So I feel like maybe if there's other manifestations people have experienced, we could maybe say that.
I agree with what Ken had said, and I experienced that quite a bit in my life. I'd get up in the morning, "Oh, I'm so depressed today," or, "Man, I'm just agitated," or, "I'm kind of mad and I don't know why," or, "I'm sad." And the Lord spoke to me a long time ago, and He said, "Don't forget who you are. You're an intercessor. This isn't about you, and you're thinking it's all about you, how you're feeling, how unhappy you are. It's not about you." And then it was like, oh, that felt so much better, that revelation of, it's not me, yay. So then I could take it in prayer and do the warfare and do what needed to be done, the travail, the birthing, and so on and so forth, until it was released. So try to remember that. If you're walking as an intercessor, you will experience these emotions, and they're actually a word of knowledge in a way that you can pray through. And you may not know who you're praying for. It doesn't matter. Just do what God says.
This is just adding kind of God's sense of humor. I don't understand what I'm travailing for. Mm-hmm. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I remember one instance really asking the Lord, What are we doing? What's going on? Give me a clue. Really, I just wanted a little clue. And He said, no. He said, and this was His explanation. He said, "I need you to focus on this. You can't do two things at one time." That, meaning that if He told me, if I had an inkling, I would go into my head and I would start my own intercession, my own prayer, my own intentions. And he said, "No, you can't do those two things at the same time." Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. We talked last week about we all have a puzzle piece. It's a big puzzle, and we have a piece of the puzzle. Even in a city, we have a piece of the puzzle. And it's important for us to understand that.
This is just a quick thing, but for me, it's just something you're wrestling with, you know, that you're not really at peace with, and that's what comes to me when I feel
okay.
Like I
yeah, and we need to realize some of what we described may not be travail. It's a prayer burden, but it's not birthing something. One of the qualities that always comes with birth pangs and with travail is pushing. You're pushing in the spirit.
Yeah,
it's a pulling or a pushing in your spirit. Because you, and we're going to get into you, some of you already begin to go there, some of the emotions that come with it. And it's an emotional oomph that may not be travail. Did somebody else?
I think there is a slight difference in when God, He separates the two, groanings and travail. Mm-hmm. He makes them two things.
Yep.
Because I've had the birthing and travailing experientially. But only once have I entered into a depth of groaning that, to this day, it was so profound. It was like every part of my being was groaning. We were interceding before going to minister to an abortion clinics, and it was this depth of groaning that, to this day, I've never experienced that again. Mm-hmm. So it's like experientially, I think that there are different things, and I don't know if there, because there was no birthing with it.
Mm-hmm.
But not that there can't be groaning with birthing, because I've done that. But it was different. The groaning that I had in that experience was different than the groaning I have when I'm travailing.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
Sheer, back there.
I'm just going to explain what I get. I don't know if it's travailing or not, but like I can walk in somewhere and I could get a headache
Mm-hmm. And I'll just be sitting there like, I did not walk in with a headache. I did not, you know, and it's just a headache.
Yep.
And then I'll, you know, kind of zone in on somebody and I'll ask if they need any prayer. And they're like, nope, I'm good. And it's like, oh, but I still got a headache. And then I'll pray and it's like, okay, I still have a headache. Or I get a stomach ache and it doesn't go away. And I pray and it's like, okay, please, let me go. It stays until, I don't know, whenever. Mm-hmm. And there was probably 2 months where I just was constantly. Is that travailing? Or what is that part of it?
I wouldn't say that is travailing, although it could get you there. I mean, if you really pressed into it. Are you the one that told me last week you get heat in your hands too? Or was that someone else? That was you. Okay. Yeah.
But I feel things all the time. Like,
yep.
And if the person is willing to go the next step, I'm released of it.
Yeah.
But if they're not, then it stays for a while. Yep. And I mean, I can pray and pray and pray. And it's like, really, Lord? I don't even know what this is for. And how do I get relief of it? I mean, I can get physically sick.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what happens if they're not receptive to it is it then becomes a matter of intercession. And you do need to pray it through. I mean, and not there and not with their participation necessarily, but okay. It's released through prayer. This is the last one.
Okay. We were in Grand Marais with a youth group, and the kids all decided they were going to go out. It was the evening, and they decided they were going to go out, and I'm not exactly sure. They were just going to minister or pray for the area. And I said I wasn't going to go because I was tired. Well, the joke then became when Deb is tired, she's interceding, because I literally went into that whole travailing and birthing, and when they came back, I was like... looking like I was having a baby, and they were like, you said you were tired. And so only to say that it there is no boundaries, there's no time. It comes on you, as I'm sure everybody knows, in inopportune places, inopportune times, and when you least expect it.
Just a disclaimer, you may be here tonight, you may be an intercessor, and you may never, ever know what it's like to travail. And we need to know that that's okay. But it is one is, whoop, you took mine. It is one piece. It is one way that we bring our piece to the puzzle in a given situation. Okay. I'm going to move us. One other way that we, our prayers, expressions of intercession is praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. I'm not going to go into that a lot. There's a number of scriptures there that tells you what, you know, what takes place when we pray in tongues, the uniqueness of it. But for the sake of time, we're going to move on. 3B, not only do we have prophetic words, do we pick up the word of the Lord, but we pick up the emotions of the Lord, and sometimes we pick up the emotions of people. Sometimes some of what you were describing, sometimes you're picking up, it's not the emotion of God, it's the emotion of people. It may be a situation, you know, that's going on. So we sometimes pick up grief or anger or pain or fear or heaviness. And how many of you know when that happens to you, it's like there's not much room for doubt, although as someone shared, sometimes you feel like you own it. Next week, when we talk about the warfare that comes against us sometimes as intercessors, we need to realize that you don't own every thought you have, you don't own every emotion you have, and you don't own every bodily sensing that you get, because sometimes it's not yours. Because I'll say this, in the same way that you are... sensitive to the Spirit of God, we can be sensitive to the spirit of darkness. And sometimes the enemy will war against us in those areas because of the sensitivity and the gift that we have of picking up things in the Spirit. So some of the other prophetic emotions are, you know, love, joy, peace, gentleness, compassion. It's like the faith. It's like the Lamb of God. Some of the other emotions are the Lion of God. You know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, boldness, indignation, feistiness. How many of you have ever had just a feistiness come on you in prayer? It's like, ooh. And it's not even, you don't even necessarily care about the thing you're praying about, but you're very aware that God does. But it is good. See, here's what we sometimes miss. Anytime that we release a prophetic word, the word of the Lord always carries with it an emotion of the Lord. And sometimes prophetic words are unhealthy, not because the word isn't accurate, it's because the emotion isn't. It's because it does not display the heart of God. It might display the word of the Lord, but it doesn't display the heart of the Lord. And we always got to be aware that we are giving expression not only to His word, but to His heart in the whole thing of intercession. That's why we feel these things. Prophetic acts, postures of intercession, sensing of the activity of God. You know, lying, kneeling, standing, running, walking. Laughter, rejoicing, dance. Weeping, meditation. How many of you have ever been in prayer and it's like there's such a reverence that comes into the room, it's like you don't even want to move. It's like, whoa, God's here. And it's like you don't need to make a sound. Yes. Let me finish this section. Fasting. By the way, generosity is one way of intercession. I'll let you, before we get into that last part. Yes.
I just wanted to share about what you had said just a minute ago about the heart of God.
Yes.
And I had talked to my pastor's wife today, and we both were just sharing about how we had the same... God had spoke to both of us about being a Mary and not a Martha. Mm-hmm. And I had actually had a dream about it and actually met Jesus in this dream. He rebuked me in this dream saying I wasn't being a Mary, but I was being a Martha. And then he came as, like you talked about, the lion. Then he came like a lamb and I got to see him as the good shepherd. And we didn't actually talk. It was spirit to spirit that he spoke to me the second mm-hmm. time. But what I wanted to share was when you're being a Martha, you have to be a Mary also. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were kind of sharing today, is you have to have the heart of Mary as you're working with Jesus in, you know, whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever God is asking you to do in obedience, you have to have the heart of God with it at the same time. And it just, that really spoke to me today. So I just wanted to share that.
Good, good. Thank you. Sometimes God will lead us into prophetic acts. There's a scripture out of 2 Kings where the prophet told the king to strike the ground with arrows. And I think, I can't remember the exact number, but he said you did not strike it.
He did it three times.
Yeah, three instead of seven or something.
Yeah,
he said if you would have struck it five or six times, you would have had total victory. It's just, what was he doing? It was just a prophetic act of intercession. In Acts chapter 2, Agabus the prophet binds his own hands and feet with Paul's belt and says, the man who owns these will be led into Jerusalem. You know, and in some ways, that's more of a prophetic act than it is an act of intercession. But we do need to understand that sometimes, have you ever, have you ever had a feistiness come on the inside of you? Well, she's not here tonight. It was one person said a few weeks ago, she just lately just felt like just in intercession, just punch in the air. I understand that. It's just picking up the activity of God, the fight of God, if you want to say it that way. And so it isn't just the words that God gives us. It is the emotions that go with it, and sometimes even the activity, the feistiness, whether it's weeping, and sometimes you pick up the emotion of something before you pick up what it's all about. And we need to understand that. I think we're going to keep moving here for the sake of time. Item D, though, if you don't hear anything else I say tonight, intercessors, understand this. Even though our body and our soul are involved in intercession, we must be led from our spirit by the Holy Spirit. Because here's what can happen, and for some of those of you who are from different churches, and even those of you who are here from this church, sometimes you freak out pastors and leaders because you are so intense and so emotional about what you see in the Spirit and what you hear in the Spirit, and you lead with your emotion. And if pastors don't understand intercession, it freaks them out. It's like, oh, whoa, settle down. Settle down. Settle. And we need to understand that even though God stirs in our emotions and moves us, we cannot be moved by our emotions. We must be moved by our spirit. And we must be led by His Spirit through our spirit. And that's true for every aspect of ministry, really. Even in prophesying, in every aspect of ministry, the reality is that we are led by His Spirit in our spirit. Our emotions make a terrible leader for our life. Amen? How many of you found that to be true? And that is particularly true in intercession. And it's particularly true for intercessors. We need to be led by our spirit and moved by our spirit. And even though we feel these intense emotions of God, we need to steward them. In fact, I want to suggest that Moses was kept out of the promised land because he did not properly represent God before the people. He misrepresented Him. And he who had fought the most to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land never got to go in himself. Well, I'm going to have Marcy come up and close us out. Number four. I do want to touch on number five a little bit. But on number four, I'm praying with a partner and or a team.
Like I alluded to earlier, there's definitely a different dynamic when you're praying, you know, obviously either alone or what we're talking about tonight a little bit is with a partner or a team. Leslie and I have prayed many times together. She's been a faithful prayer partner over the years with me from Living Waters here. And anyway, I've just found that that the Lord really teamed us up. And that's one thing I wanted to say is that, you know, if the Lord is leading you to kind of team up with somebody, let Him lead you, you know, in that process. You know, maybe some of us haven't had that experience. But it might be that the Lord would team you up with somebody for a season to accomplish some things in prayer together. Many of you may have a prayer partner, which is wonderful. But the thing is that I wanted to encourage you is that that is spirit-led, whoever the Lord is bringing you alongside. And it might be for a season, part of that is, you know, there again, it's relationally, you know. And sometimes when I found, you know, our season, Leslie and I kind of, you know, it's lifted, it's come back, it's lifted, it's come back. And it's kind of like, what are you doing, God? You know, you feel like you can sense it lifting. You know, there's sometimes seasons for that. So anyway, I just say that, you know, let the Lord lead you in that. And you may have more than, you know, in our walk, we may have more than one partner in a season, just depending upon what He's doing in that particular season. One thing I wanted to say also as far as a team. Another thing we've learned as we've kind of gone through the years, and maybe many of you are already aware of this, but When you come in to pray with one another in a team, I think it's really, it's very helpful for you to be sensitive, number one, of team and who's there, and number two, first and foremost, actually, the way the Lord is leading. That's what I wanted to say first is, you know, we just want to sense where the Lord is leading, because sometimes when we're praying for something, and especially if there's been a specific either subject or time that's been identified that, or subject or whatever situation that's been identified, then we want to, you know, as a team, we want to focus in on that. And so if somebody comes in and says, well, you know, something personal or whatever, sometimes that's, it has a potential to cut cross grain in what God's doing, you know, in that process. And it kind of can, you know, disrupt a little bit. And so I just want to encourage you to be sensitive to that, that when you come in and you are praying with a team, and especially if it's a team that you're not real familiar with, you know, for whatever reason, but obviously if it's, you know, your home church or a team that you're familiar with, then usually, you know, obviously you flow well, probably have a tendency of learn to flow well together. So just wanted to say that. I'm just trying to see if there's anything. The other thing is, too, is that once you start praying, that has to do with also, I mean, just the whole aspect of intercession. When you start praying for something, is to keep on that, like Bob mentioned last week, you know, okay, we're going to pray for something, and kind of keep on that theme and keep on that flow until whoever is leading that, whether it's in an open meeting or, you know, a team that's getting together for prayer, if there's a sensing by the person that's leading that something has either shifted or lifted or is changing or whatever, you know, you want to just continue to pray along those lines and intercede on those lines and bring your peace along those lines. And then, you know, God will obviously make it known to whoever is in leadership to kind of, if there's a shift in that. So I wanted to encourage you in that. So, yeah, I think that's pretty much covered it. So.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. Hiddenness in intercession. That is not a word, but it is now. It is in the kingdom of God. There's something about hiddenness. And there is something about hiddenness in intercession that is very precious to the Lord. And I said last week, and I want to say again this week, I want to thank you who have been hidden away by the Lord and pray day after day, morning after morning. And I know sometimes at 2 in the morning or whatever, He seems to awake you, and thank you for that. Because it is so significant. We talked a little bit last week about Anna and Simeon. And I think it is so misunderstood how key their role was in the coming of Jesus Christ, in the coming of the Messiah. And there are two, I'm sure there were more. But the reality is that many of you pay a price in the secret place, what the Bible calls the secret place. And thank you so much for that. And in those places, it's not always about team, even though you might process things you see there. But it is important to realize that those hours spent are fruitful. And thank you for that. And thank you for the fruitfulness that comes out of that. And I know sometimes you bring out of those times the preciousness of what God has spoken to you, and you want to try to share it with others, and you feel sometimes like you're throwing pearls before swine. And you are. And it's not because whoever you share it with, whether it's your pastor or your whoever, it's not that there's anything wrong with them, but it's because what you and God have process together in that time of intimacy is so precious that it really can't be shared with anyone. And sometimes you submit your stuff to leadership or whatever, and you wish they would take it as seriously as you do, and I can guarantee you they will not. They'll never be as precious to them as it was to you. It's like other people's kids. I love kids, but your kids are not as cute to me as mine. They're just not. And it's the reality of life and all of that. But that doesn't mean it isn't precious, and it doesn't mean it is important. But we need to understand that the intensity with which we carry our puzzle piece is to be our intensity, not anyone else's. And we need to realize when we bring our little, and I don't mean little in matter of significance, but when we bring our piece of the puzzle to leader in a church or whatever, we need to realize they have a bigger picture with a lot of other puzzle pieces coming their way, including their own little puzzle piece that they get from God at 3 a.m. And so never feel like, and you know, and I've learned this, prophetic people need to be pastored, and intercessors need to be pastored and need to be validated. And that's one of the purposes of this class. But thank you. Thank you for the hiddenness. Thank you for the time that you spent. I'm going to ask if the worship team will come on up. We're going to talk a little bit more about this whole thing of relating to leadership and stuff. Next week, we're going to talk about warfare, about healthy warfare, both the warfare that we step into as intercessors and also the backlash that we can experience if we're not aware of the way the adversary works. We're going to go into a time of intercession like we did last week. Actually, and I apologize that the teachings go so long. We had hoped to spend about half of our time in intercession. But this class was going to be 4 weeks, and a snowstorm kind of shortened it to 3. And so we're cramming a lot in each of the 3 sessions. But we do want to spend some time. And we're just going to enter into worship. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We recognize that you are our intercession coach, as we talked about last week. You are the one who leads us, guides us, coaches us. And we ask you to use us as a team here tonight, both musically and in word and in deed, to step into a place of intercession for our region. And we just thank you for it. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Let's stand together.